Good evening, guys. Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Josh.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh and Jen.
Hello.
And welcome to episode 3 of Gleeful, where we will be discussing episode 3 of the TV, the Fox television show Glee. I hope you figured that out before you downloaded the show, because that would be awkward. How are you doing tonight, Ed?
I'm doing awesome. Yes, sure. Yeah, final answer.
And Jennifer?
I'm doing good.
We had the returning season premiere of How I Met Your Mother tonight, so that was exciting.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Anything exciting going on where you are, Ed?
I have midterms this week that I should be studying for.
Oh.
This is much more interesting than midterms, I assure you.
Yes, definitely, without a doubt.
what midterms do you have, Ed? More biochem?
I'm currently taking Calculus 2 midterm tomorrow, and Thursday I have an analytical chemistry midterm, so if anyone would like to help me with that, feel free to contact me.
Oh my gosh, the phone lines just lit up with people that want to help. I'm joking. We have no phone lines. So that would be interesting if you were just like, who wants to help me do my homework? Email me at ai7inheaven@gmail.com.
Nice.
Hey, you know my email. Oh my God.
I do. Well, we should let the people know. This is episode 3. We've had an incredible response from people, so thank you so much for joining us for this third episode of Gleeful. I don't think it has anything to do with our success. I think it's just straight up how much people love the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It has absolutely nothing to do with us, but according to Wazoo Glee Fan, this is by far the best podcast, Glee podcast on iTunes! Exclamation point. So thank you, Wazoo Glee Fan,
yes,
for
awesome.
The iTunes review.
Speaking of which, if you review us on iTunes, that would be great. Just because the more reviews you get on iTunes, the kind of further up you get in the list, and you know it's fun to be in the list. We'll never be extremely high ranking, but it's exciting.
Something to shoot for.
We already did. We've already done that. I don't know what you're talking about. Even we never do it again, we've already done it. So
that's
it's
true.
Like...
we're just so flattered by the reaction. So thank you so much. We got some great emails. An email from Michael in New Jersey. Michael's a listener of Jen and my show, The Idol Review, which you can listen to as well at www.theidolreview.com. But Michael has said he's been watching Glee and enjoying something different on television. He calls the show a combination of High School Musical and the show Popular. It was on WB a couple years ago. I never saw it, but didn't have Maggie Grace?
I didn't see it, and I don't know.
Did you ever watch Popular, Ed?
I can't say that I did.
He said, so far the characters have been a little one-dimensional, but hopefully they will grow through the season. I'll agree with that.
Okay, it's been 2 episodes, 3 episodes now. How many dimensions are you wanting from these people? Well, Tesseract and such? What are you expecting?
Did you say Tesseract?
Yeah.
That is an awesome reference.
I know. I'm epic. Leeds.
That is epic. But I do think he has a point, but I do think that you also have a point, Ed, that there are so many characters that 3 episodes in, it would be pretty hard to give them too much dimension. But he says there's been a lot of talk about Kurt's sexuality, which we can get into because that was a big topic of the most recent episode. But he does finish off his email with, overall, Glee is very good and Lea Michele is incredible. Her rendition of On My Own blows me away. And we agree with that. That's a really nice really nice thing to say. We also want this is an email we got from Sarah. She says she's been listening to the Glee show, and thank you very much. She's come up with some pretty interesting theories about the characters that we'll have to talk about later on in the show, particularly the future of Kurt.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to get into that a bit. But mainly, we wanted to thank Jamie. Listener Jamie designed a logo for us, which we'd been talking on the last episode about how we needed a show logo. And listener Jamie designed a logo for us, and it's just like blew us all away with how cool it was.
It's amazing.
So thank you so much.
So flattered.
We will definitely throw that up as our logo. Thank you so much, Jamie. And it was, just incredibly flattering. So episode 3, Acapellas. I'm sure if we Googled Acapellas, we would find plenty of groups with that name.
I love it, and I'm shocked I'd never heard it before. Especially having researched
acapellas. I like testosterones, though. I'm not gonna lie.
That was awesome too. And what was the dudes? Oh. What was the other one? Oh gosh, I'm sure it's on here somewhere. There were three of them, and they were all right. Genius. But testosterones was pretty great. again, lots of great quotes in the episode. Let's see. We need to have a gay intervention. We need to have a gayvention.
Yeah.
Was very, dude, my bowels move better than you. That was a great joke. And Will's mother was pretty hilarious. So here, I'm Googling acapellas, and we'll see how many responses we get on the Google.
All I know is cougars never disappoint.
That was your Twitter status today.
Yeah, I say a lot of things.
So we have acapellas all over the place. What, acapellas.org? There's a Facebook page.
We need to go to Urban Dictionary. I'm going to Urban Dictionary. That's right. the place.
So anyway, so let's talk a bit about the episode, though. A couple of interesting new plot elements we got here. Will's wife continues to be pretending that she's pregnant and hoping to get pregnant as a way to cover the lie.
Yeah, but she might have a hard time explaining, 14-month pregnancy.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. Yeah. Will's great line was, we did it so much as like she was trying to make a twin.
Yes. That was very cute.
I think it'd be easier for her to explain a 14th month pregnancy than a non-pregnancy. So.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks like it's getting there. Like, I don't think she's going to be able to get pregnant in order to cover this up. I think it's a matter of time until Will finds out.
Yeah, well.
But didn't you see in the previews that she had the belly?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She's going to fake it.
Her sister, who's insane.
Yeah, crazy sister.
Crazy. Aren't you glad I don't have sisters?
I love her.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Crazy sister. But so, yeah, it looks like she's going to be faking it for the long term, which is kind of like straight out of a Lindsay Lohan movie. But I don't know. Like, Ed, what do you think? Do you think this is going to be a big blow up? Like, are they going to save this for episode 13 where we have the big, holy crap, she's not actually pregnant?
No, I think she's going to adopt a child. Like, I think she's going to be like, I just don't want you in the delivery room with me. I don't think you could handle it. And then she's going to come out and she's going to like pay someone off and she's going to, or her sister probably will. And she's going to sneak in a baby and she's going to be like, look, little baby.
That's kind of extreme.
Oh, yeah. I'm not afraid of her pushing this to the end.
Wow. Okay. I say she caves and tearfully confesses later.
But no, is not her style. She is too strong of a woman for that.
I don't know if strong is the word you want to use there.
Yeah.
Okay. Too determined.
All right.
Better? Okay.
That she wouldn't confess that she was never pregnant. I think she would confess that she lost the baby or claim that she lost the baby.
That's the other possibility that she miscarried.
Yeah. She's crazy. That's what she could hope for.
Yeah, she's definitely nuts. There's no doubt about that.
But I loved the casting for Will's parents. I thought it was absolutely perfect.
Yes, we should definitely discuss Will's parents. Before we do that, a big focus of the episode was the acapellas, and that was the vocal group that Will started with the guys at school, which is genius. I love that the guy from Sheets and Things continued to perform with his name tag throughout the episode. Their first song, or their first big number in the show, was Poison. And so let's give a listen to Poison. This is Poison by the acapellas.
Poison! Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect. Uh-huh. You ready, Ken?
I'm ready.
You ready, Henri?
I'm ready, Will. Are you?
Aw, yeah, break it down. Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind. The situation is serious. Let's cure it, cause we're running out of time.
Can't get her out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love her.
Wrong movie, Dad.
That girl is poison. smiles, that girl is
poison. See, that's where it does it for me right there. What's that character's name? Which one is that?
Is that Puck? Is
that Howard or Henri?
It was Howard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when he says never trust a big button to smile, it's pretty genius. Yeah, so the Acafellas was kind of the main plot of the episode was Will starting at a acapella men's hip hop singing choir called the Acafellas. And you wanted to talk about Will's parents. Will's parents were played by Victor Garber and Deborah Monk. I think that longtime listeners of the Idol Review will know that Jennifer has a bit of a crush on Victor Garber.
I do. And my friend Grace just met him in the elevator at the Grove in Hollywood. I'm so bummed. She said he was very nice, though.
Yes. So what did you guys think of Will's parents? I was kind of mixed on them. Ed?
I caught the episode like 5 minutes late the first time I watched it. The first time I watched it, I just saw the father talking to Mr. Schuster, and he's like, guts are what's important and blah, blah, blah. So I thought it was a dream sequence because I thought he burned down the house and died in the fire. But
that's right. He burned the house down. That's I totally forgot that line.
But after I found out that he was real, I thought it was a good choice. I can't say that I was extremely excited or anything, but I thought it moved the plot along well.
And I think just it kind of is going to force the issue about the baby because now he's telling family members who are going to, you know, move ahead with the notion that they're having a baby and they're going to start to plan for it. So I think that's going to kind of force her hand a little. So
that's true. You know, I liked them both. I think it's really interesting that even though they have people like Victor Garber and Josh Groban on the show not singing, it's very musical casting. You know, Victor Garber is, you know, one of the great performers of Broadway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously Josh Groban is cute as a button and face like a biscuit or
I forget the line.
But anyway, I think it's really interesting casting. As far as like their characters though, I thought Victor Garber was a bit kind of dorky, I guess. Mm-hmm. And
It was the bow tie.
It was. And I didn't quite get what Will's mother was supposed to be like, kind of slutty and weird. What was it? We sold all 17 copies of your CD, and I didn't even have to flash my bosoms.
Yes.
So I don't really know what they were trying to go for with the with that.
I'm sure there's more to this. Like maybe they'll have an alcohol intervention or something. I don't know.
It could definitely happen.
But her being drunk did lead to a very good scene between her and Josh Groban. And my favorite part is when Mrs. Schuster, they're like, where's she at? And then Mrs. Schuster is like, she probably hit her head again. Like, and then Mr. Schuster and the father were like, yeah, that's probably right. And they just kept going on.
Yes, and she's normally back flirting with Josh Groban, who I think I mentioned while we were watching the episode. I'm not a big fan of Josh Groban's music. It doesn't work for me really on any level. But Josh Groban, the guy, I am a huge fan of Josh Groban, the guy. Like his interviews, the crazy stuff he did on Nevermind the Buzzcocks where he sang I Kissed a Girl. Like, he's just seems like the coolest dude.
Yeah.
And so I give him a lot of crap for his music, but straight up, he seems like the nicest guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just even playing himself in this show and playing himself portrayed in this way, I think shows a great sense of humor. And I think he's awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Ed, what's your read on Josh Groban?
He wasn't in it that much, so it was. I don't love Josh Groban's music, but it was good for the show. I totally was believing Sandy when they were like, ever since he accidentally friended me on MySpace. But I loved it. I thought he was hilarious. Anything that gets more Sandy on the show is a good thing.
I was going to say, I really liked how far they let Sandy go.
Yeah, I was surprised because I really didn't think we were going to see Sandy again after the first episode, even though it's Stephen Tobolowsky.
Right.
I didn't think we were going to see him again. But as soon as he came back, I'm like, oh, you're fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
It was cool to have Sandy back. The quote here, this is on TV.com, the quote from the episode was, "Who is Josh Groban? Who is Josh Groban? Kill yourself. He's an angel sent from heaven to deliver platinum records unto us. If he were here right now, I would club you to death with his Critics' Choice Award."
Yes.
So we should definitely talk a bit about the other side of the episode, which was the kids. And so as Mr. Schuster's off doing the acapellas, the kids were struggling with the choreography. So at the beginning of the episode, they were complaining that Mr. Schuster was not quite the choreographer that that he was hoping to be. And in an attempt to pull the group apart, the cheerleaders, Quinn and the two other girls, whose names I don't remember, decided to bring in a really hardcore choreographer who could come in and hopefully tear the group apart on their behalf. The choreographer's name was Dakota. Nope. You okay?
Dakota. I loved it. And then there's this one show, I want to say, I don't know, maybe it was Nickelodeon or Disney, where they had a fake pop star and her name was Dakota something, and it was supposed to be like a Hannah Montana off. So when they said it was Dakota, my head went there.
Yeah, it was Dakota Stanley, and Jennifer and I were spending the whole episode, of course, being like, who is this guy? Like, where have we seen him before? And then when you look him up, he's done a gazillion things, but his main credit for me is that he was the kid in Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child.
And for me, I remembered him as the kid from the opening sequence in Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's
that,
right.
Sam Neill scares the crap out of with that claw.
But he is itty-bitty. He was really... He fit that episode really well. I really liked his character, Dakota Stanley. When he was going down firing them all across the line was really a great scene.
You make me feel like a woodland creature, and he looks like a woodland creature. That's, oh my god, me and my friends cracked up the first time we saw that.
Yeah, it was pretty great. So I was happy to see Dakota Stanley, but I have to admit, I didn't think the two plots worked. Like, I really felt like the biggest problem with this episode for me was that it seemed like there were two separate shows going on. There was Mr. Schuster's plot line, and then there was the kids' plot line, and they didn't quite mingle together. They didn't work.
Yeah, even though there was some crossover with Finn, you still never felt that any of it tied together other than, you know, the, Sue's mission to break up the group,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, Will's mission to kind of, you know, express himself and to kind of get the courage to be more.
Yeah.
So much happened in this episode. How can you, I understand what you, but they, I think they're trying to point out the difference between the adult world and the kids world.
Yeah, I agree. No, go ahead.
And that's all. I'm just surprised that you feel that way. Cause when I got out of it, I didn't feel that way at all. Like, I knew they weren't connected, but I wasn't bothered by that at all.
I understand. Yeah, I guess I just, for me, it didn't feel like a really cohesive show. And quite frankly, at the end of the day, I like the kids better than I like the adults. And so, like, when you look at the big musical numbers in the show, most of them belong to the adults, and then you had Mercedes one song, but other than that, you really had the acapellas doing
and vocal adrenaline.
And vocal adrenaline, yes, of course.
They're my heroes.
I mean, I just, when I put it in comparison to the last episode, which I think was much better than episode one, I think episode two was a much better episode. And then when I put episode three against episode two, I don't even like it as much as I like the pilot. Like, this one just didn't really feel cohesive, but I do think it's putting a lot of pieces in play that we're going to get to watch coming on later in the season.
But you're also probably looking at it from the point of Josh the writer and not just Josh the fan.
That's true, too. I look at everything from Josh the
writer. Yeah, you have a hard time just sitting back and enjoying it for the pieces that are given to you.
But yeah. I enjoy, like I understand they want this show to last a long time.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the adult plot line. I didn't find it to be fake or contrived. It kind of all made sense.
Oh, so. Speaking of the show lasting for a long time, did you guys read that it got picked up for the full season?
Yep, 22 episodes.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Yes,
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
I had to let the cat in.
Oh, no, no, no. We were talking about it before we started recording.
Oh, okay.
Glee is the first new show of the fall season to get a full season order. So that's pretty exciting.
That's awesome.
Fox Entertainment President Kevin Reilly said, "The response we received to Glee has been remarkable. It's already got the makings of a cultural phenomenon. I've seen all 13 episodes, and Ryan Murphy, his team, and the talented Glee cast have knocked our socks off with their incredible work." So it's really exciting. Of course, Ryan Murphy again refers to the show as the underdog, which I'm starting to feel like this show is not the underdog anymore.
Well, I mean, it's the underdog in the same sense that Lady Gaga was an underdog when she first started.
I'll give him the point that it's an underdog in so much that it is not about a lawyer, a cop, or a doctor.
It's different. Yeah. It's different.
It is very different.
And it breaks the mold and it creates a new... a whole new world of to explore, and I'm very much excited by it.
Well, the next big song in the show was Mercedes' first big solo in the show, or first big solo song, Bust Your Windows, which I had never heard before. Jennifer, had you ever heard this song? I feel so bad. And we know, Ed, you're familiar with
Yes, I've heard the song.
But here's Mercedes with Bust Your Windows. Ed, what did you think of Bust Your Windows by Mercedes?
Yeah, I saw this video about 3 weeks ago, and I was just completely perplexed why there were cheerleaders with Mercedes. and then when I watched it this time, it made sense. Yeah. I was asking my friends, like, why do the cheerleaders always need to be wearing their freaking cheerleading outfits in all situations?
Yeah. That's their only identity.
I've never complained.
But I do think about that. Like, they wear their uniform every day to school.
I think that's the joke. I mean, it's considering the show is kind of a play on social caste.
Yep.
It really is like everyone kind of dresses the part, you know, to a certain degree. Like, just about every time you see Puck, he's going to be in his workout shirt and his workout shorts. And so, I think it's kind of just part of the image of the show. But I do find it very entertaining, even when they're at the... car wash, they have, you know, their bikinis match their skirts and everything. It was pretty funny. Jennifer, what did you think of Bust Your Windows?
Oh, I thought she was amazing. It was nice to actually hear her have a solo.
Yeah.
To do, you know, really just show us what she can do. And I thought it was amazing.
So the reason that she was singing this, as we figured out, was that she had had a short, one-sided love affair with Kurt. And thought that they were becoming a couple, where Kurt said he was in love with someone else. And we'll just come right out and say it turned out, or it seems to be that other person is Finn.
Mm-hmm. No, and it was, what are you talking about? It was Rachel.
Well, she misunderstood,
But it was hilarious.
Yeah.
All the same.
So,
and I love his reaction.
My big problem with this was I never bought that she had feelings for Kurt. Like, she needed to sell it more to me, because I didn't understand how that could ever be possible in any version of the world.
Relax, Josh.
Oh, I'm just saying, so you guys disagree, obviously.
Actually, yeah.
I mean, I didn't, like, I wasn't in love with the idea, but I was like, she was lonely. I understand that.
That's the impression I got, is that, you know, here was somebody who was nice to her and showing attention to her and paying attention to what she wore. And, you know, I mean, even if they were just going to be friends, I mean, I think she just really had feelings for him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it didn't seem far-fetched to me at all.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, it was definitely, you know, a center point of the episode, and it's kind of our first kind of delving into those two characters, which mm-hmm. I'm definitely excited to see stuff happening with Kurt and, and some of the other characters on the show, Kurt and Mercedes.
Yeah.
We got a couple emails where people are wanted to talk about the Kurt and Mercedes relationship. Let's see, Sarah, who we mentioned a bit earlier, had said, I was hoping that Kurt would turn out to be straight so that he and Mercedes could get together. She said,
I was hoping for, too.
What did you say?
Sarah, that's what I was hoping for, too.
And he says, as she says, I'm a fan of odd pairings, so I was devastated, or maybe that's an understatement, when he came out. Also, I sort of expected it. So it's interesting, you know, it was kind of odd. I kind of agreed with, should go back. I kind of agree with what listener Michael had said, where he was a little disappointed by how they handled Kurt's sexuality. He said, I would just prefer it if he had just been openly gay and there didn't have to be some kind of a coming out. Like, it almost seems like, as Michael put it right here, that storyline just struck me as very 1990s.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like in 1999, we don't need to have a character like Kurt have a big coming out moment. No. We can just kind of accept that his sexuality is whatever he chooses it to be and, you know, not worry about it so much.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would just not address it and just let him be him for a while without putting a label on him. So.
Exactly. What was it when she says, man, you have an incredible car, and he says, yeah, my dad bought it for me if I promised to stop wearing waist-length sweaters. He took it away when he found my tiara collection. But what did you think about Kurt's coming out storyline, Ed?
I thought that it, like as you said, it probably really wasn't necessary in 2009, in quotes, but we still have, like, It's good, I feel, to have this in some ways. Because there's lots of young people that watch the show. And I know Ugly Betty was a proponent of actually making homosexuality almost slightly more accepted in Hispanic homes. Because lots of Hispanic people watch the show. Hmm. So it was just like the realization that people weren't converted. Like, the son and, I mean... The son is obviously, and he's like 10 or 12 or whatever he is.
Yeah.
And I remember reading articles about how people in the Hispanic community were reading, I mean, who were watching that, were realizing that homosexuals weren't like attacking people, pinning them down and being like, convert or something. Although that does sound amusing.
You could have a point. I mean, the fact is the three of us obviously, you know, have to us, you know, gay or straight, it doesn't really matter to us. But, you know, elections would make a case that we are a bit in the minority in that viewpoint. And maybe to a majority of the audience watching Glee, this is more of a storyline that they're more comfortable with a coming out story, and that they actually need to see Kurt make some kind of an admission. They can't just take it on face value. And maybe this is just us coming at it from our personal experience and not really looking at the way, you know, a majority of the country might disagree with us. So yeah, I mean, I do love Kurt as a character. And if Kurt's coming out gives us more time to spend with Kurt, I honestly can't complain. I mean, if we're going to see Kurt go through some opinion or go through some feelings and whatever, I think I'm okay with that.
I don't foresee it becoming a major storyline point. I think it was just this episode. They just, yeah. Because I don't think they're going to be crazy about it or anything.
No, I mean, the show is not afraid to be heavy-handed, but I don't think that they'll be heavy-handed with this. So there was one great quote in Sarah's email as well that I think that you, Ed, will quite enjoy. She says, "I agree with Ed's speculation that Puck will turn out to be gay since he's portrayed so much as a slimy womanizer type. And I was hoping that Kurt, would turn out to, says, however, I've come up with a theory that Kurt will pretend to go out with Mercedes so people wouldn't realize he's gay and maybe he'll end up with Puck."
No. I was optimistic about Puck until the cougarness.
The cougarness.
I appreciate that he isn't as shallow. I don't know.
Did Puck, your roommate just tell you to keep your voice down?
Possibly.
Oh, okay. Because I just had to turn up your microphone, and I'm like, oh.
Wow.
Well, yeah, so it's definitely stuff is happening and it's fun. We did get more about Puck this episode, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
To learn more about that character. I don't really foresee him turning out to be gay. I agree with you, Ed. I think that now with the cougar stuff, he'll probably turn out to just be, a bit more comic relief, but it does seem pretty much assured that Puck is going to be joining the Glee Club. Because if he's singing with acapellas, it's just a matter of time before he joins the Glee
Club.
Well,
it's also confirmed as I was sending Josh this, which I don't think he ever watched. But they were doing the taping for episode 13 sectionals, or I believe that's what I believe it was. And someone had a cell phone camera or something, and Puck and two other males that I don't know were also in the group number Somebody to Love. So that means there's 12 people for regionals.
Well, yeah, we definitely know they're going to get there eventually. Yeah. You like to watch those behind the scenes things, and I like to be surprised when I see the episode. But it is kind of fun to learn more about the characters. Now, I would have to say, you know, you guys have defended this episode and I totally respect that. But I have to say the biggest problem with this episode is that here we are 33 minutes into the Gleeful podcast, episode 3, and we have not even mentioned Lea Michele.
It's okay. Relax. Yes. Not every episode can be about her.
But every episode, but she's the show to me. Like, she is Glee. And if she's not at least aspect.
If she was in every episode a major part, it would be, we wouldn't want it as bad. And it wouldn't be as good when we had it. So, when she does play a major role, which she is bound to play a major role in.
Of course, yes.
We will be thankful and we will enjoy it.
I mean, she wasn't insignificant.
She was in it.
I mean, she confronted Quinn. She confronted Finn on his feelings.
She did.
She took the lead to go ahead and bring in this new choreographer to make them, you know, put them into competition shape. And she also fired that guy. So, I mean, she had some significant stuff. She didn't have any solos, but you know, what? This week it was Mercedes' time.
Yeah, and we also learned that she bakes cookies for the homeless every Christmas.
But not only that, she coordinates her outfit to match the I'm sorry cookies.
Did you catch that, Ed, when she gave Mr. Schuster the sorry cookies?
I did notice they coordinated, but I didn't like think she planned it, but she probably did.
That was awesome. Well, there was one more song in the episode before we go, and this was my favorite of the episode. Was the acapellas doing I Wanna Sex You Up. So here's a clip of the acapellas performing I Wanna Sex You Up from Glee Episode 3.
Ah, tick-tock, you don't stop.
Stop to the...
Ah, tick-tock, you don't stop.
Stop to the... Ah, tick-tock, you don't stop.
I know you're not gonna sing that song. You're not gonna sing that song.
Come inside, take off your coat, I'll make you feel at home. Now let's pour a glass of wine, cause now we're all alone. I've been waiting all night, so just let me hold you close to me. Cause I've been dying for you, girl, to make a love to me.
Ooh, I take off your coat, I'll 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 take off your co
Let me take off all your clothes. Disconnect the phone so nobody knows. Yeah. Let me light a candle so that we can make it better. Making love until we drown. Yeah. Girl, you make me feel real good.
So one of the things about this episode, probably the most disturbing thing about this one to me, was Tanaka talking about having sex with Emma. And that's just a mental picture that is really terrifying.
But when was this? I can't remember this.
When Puck said he wanted to join the Acapellas, and Tanaka said, you can't mess this up. My sex life with my girlfriend is hanging by a thread, and that thread is the Acapellas. It makes her crazy. What is he? It makes her crazy in the pants or something like this. It's just disturbing.
That's hardly descriptive. Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
I
don't want Emma and Tanaka to be a couple. I'm very uncomfortable with them as a couple. Because I want her to be with Schuster. I want, you know, that's the couple I want to see on the show.
It's not going to happen.
Not right now.
Yeah.
We can't.
Yeah.
If it happened, we would lose some major exciting characters. So.
It would definitely be too soon.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, hey, what's she going to do? Sit around and wait around for a married man? You know, for his relationship to fall apart? No, the girl has to live.
But she could be with somebody who's not Tanaka. She could be with, like, a better guy.
But he's a minority and they can never fire him.
That was a great line. I was like, he is? I guess. I
just technically.
Never thought of it. Well, maybe they're out of a lot of options in that school. And maybe some people can't look past her little crazy phobias.
Well, we shall see. I do like Emma a lot, and so I'm always happy to have Emma on the show. So next week we have the episode Preggers. It appears that Will's wife will continue to be faking her pregnancy, and it appears that Kurt will be trying out as kicker for the football team.
Oh, right.
So that'll be exciting. What's his line in the trailer?
I'm auditioning for the role of kicker.
Yes. That's so good.
I've been scouring the Wikipedia page since we started recording, and I found this. There's two confirmed musical numbers, one of which you'll be very happy is a Rachel solo.
Awesome. Well, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Taking Chances by Cara DioGuardi wrote that song.
It's true. What'd you say?
Taking Chances by Cara.
Taking Chances.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to
Josh this right before. Three words. Kurt, single ladies. I'm excited. I'm excited. I don't know what, but I'm excited.
That's awesome.
Well, that's pretty much it. Do we have anything else, guys? Jennifer?
No.
Ed?
I'm sorry.
Well, there's the soundtrack info, which I want to go over, but we could wait for another.
Yeah, let's save that a bit. Let's save that a bit more. But for the time being, if you like the show, definitely let us know. You can review us on iTunes, and we would definitely appreciate that. Or you can email us. Our Jen and my email is info@theidlereview.com. That's our other show, www.theidlereview, to check out our other show. And Ed's email is ai7inheaven@gmail.com. And your other show is called American Idol 7 in Heaven, or yes. American Idol 8 Its Fate. Depending on which one you search for.
Search it for American Idol 7 and 7 because I can't update the name, which I may or may not have noted in the previous episode.
But definitely check out our other shows. Ed's show is great, and I assume you'll be raving about Little Boots this week.
I've been meaning to, but I haven't yet, but I will. Little Boots is amazing. Side note.
And Jennifer and I will be probably making a decision on our wedding song this week and talking about summer television show finales.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And the return of How I Met Your Mother. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for us. Once again, you can email us at info@theidlereview.com, or you can email Ed at AI7inHeaven@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us for episode 3 of Gleeful. We will be back next week to talk about episode 4 of Glee, entitled Preggers. And for the time being, I am Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed.
There Jazz we hand. Go. Jazz hands. We'll talk to everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Om Glee.
Om Glee.